This is Mark McNeese, and you're listening to One Thing or Another, Interviews and Conversations. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. This is Mark, your host. And today, my guest is humorist, activist, author Faye Jacobs. Out there in Rehoboth, I'm in rural New Jersey, and let's welcome Faye. Faye, how are you?
I'm fine this morning. How are you?
I'm good. Before I tell folks a little bit about you, I just wanted to mention, you know, we go to Rehoboth quite a bit. And my husband and I, and we have friends who live in Bethany Beach. Frank is currently reading. Frank loves your books. He finished. He's reading, Aging Gracefully. He's reading that one now. But it's the second collection of yours that he's read, and he really likes them. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Wonderful.
So people know a little bit about you before we start talking. You've had a 35-year career in journalism, public relations, and theater. We'll get to that. As an author, you have 5 published books of humorous and activist essays. As I Lay Frying was one of them. It's in its 4th printing. Then you had a second, Fried and True, that won the 2008 National Federation of Press Women Book of the Year for humor. Your 3rd collection, For Frying Out Loud, won more national awards, including a Golden Crown Society award.
Right.
And your latest is Time Fries, Aging Gracefully. That's the one that Frank is reading right now. So people know.
There's one more.
Yeah, there is one because he told me.
Fried and Convicted.
Yes.
Fried and Convicted.
That's the one he read before this. Now.
Oh, great.
Just a quick question. Where does the fry come from? All your books have fry in them.
Exactly. It started because I was out on the beach and we were talking about suntan and we were talking about frying on the beach. And when somebody said you should call your book a literary name, and I'm thinking of Faulkner and I'm thinking of literary, and I thought, how about As I Lay Frying rather than As I Lay Dying? And people laughed and they thought it was fun. And then I kind of got saddled with it because I thought, well, I better use frying in all my titles. And I started to have a good time with it.
Well, I like it. It's a consistent little hook that you've got there. Can you tell?
Right. If I do another one, it's going to be called Big Girls Don't Fry.
Oh, I like that a lot.
We'll see.
Now, can you give people a little bit of the 411 on Faye Jacobs, where you live and that sort of thing?
Sure. I started out in New York. I'm a New Yorker. But I went to college in Washington, D.C. at American University. And so I stayed and I had a long career in Washington. And at a certain point, I decided I needed to really concentrate on my writing. And I was getting, it was the 80s, it was the AIDS crisis, it was the early 90s, and I was doing a lot of nonprofit work, but I really wanted to make my mark by talking about the gay community. So that's what I did, and I don't regret a single minute of it.
Did you, were you going to Rehoboth at that time? How did you end up in Rehoboth?
It was interesting. We had come down here from Washington, D.C. in the late 80s, like a lot of folks, to come to some of the gay bars and to have a good time, to spend a weekend or two. And I realized I was in Washington and I had to use a pen name for the essays that were published in the Washington Blade from me. Mm-hmm. Because I was sure that I'd be fired from my job with a nonprofit, if they knew I was gay. I mean, it was the mid 80s, mm-hmm. And so coming down here, and I saw that by the mid 90s, Rehoboth Beach was a place that was welcoming for everyone, and it was amazing because people were starting to live here full time. And friends got a house here, and we came and visited. And I thought, well, if I get a job here, I wouldn't have to be in the closet. I mean, I could be out in my job. I could be out personally. And that's what I did.
And how did you start writing essays?
it was an interesting time. I started writing them in Rehoboth. I had written for The Blade, and it was just sort of my day-to-day commentary on gay life. And it was, some of them were picked up by The Blade. It wasn't a regular gig. But when I came here, there was an incident. I was living on a boat with my wife, Bonnie. We were living in Dewey on a boat, and there was a hamburger place that we walked into, and the people behind the counter, the owner, was making vile comments about gay people. And I was shocked. And I saw that there was a magazine in town called Letters from Camp Rehoboth. And I wrote a letter to the editor saying people should be warned about this guy. Mm-hmm. And the editor and executive director of Camp Rehoboth, which was the nonprofit that published the magazine, he went and talked to the guy with the mayor of Dewey Beach, and they told him that that kind of behavior was out of bounds. And I don't know whether it had anything to do with it, but the place closed up really fast after that. And Steve Elkins asked me if I was interested in writing for the magazine. So my first essay was how my wife Bonnie and I got to Rehoboth from Annapolis by boat. And once I wrote that essay, I haven't missed a deadline but once in 26 years.
Are you syndicated?
No, I am not. Okay. I have kept it just to Rehoboth Beach, although a lot of my columns appear on social media. So in that way, I have a lot of people who I'm in touch with.
And now I was wondering too, where you get your inspiration from? How often do you write your columns?
My column comes out 15 times a year in Letters from Camp Rehoboth. I'm also writing columns for another publication called Delaware Beach Life, and they are more resort and Delaware-oriented. Mm-hmm. The ones in Letters are more LGBTQ-oriented. And the inspiration, my motto is, nothing is so bad if it's worth the story you can tell. And I got that one from my father. Mm-hmm. And just about every day, something, is weird or ironic or something. Laughter comes from universal situations where people recognize themselves and they can laugh about themselves. So mostly I talk about things that we've done, the pride parades, the marches, dealing with the IRS, zip lining, getting sprayed by a skunk. Something happens, I write about it.
Did you, you had an essay about your wife having colon cancer, did you?
Well, I did. Some life isn't always pretty. And I did have an article about the need for people to get colonoscopies. And also, while she was in the hospital in the early years, I had one about she was in the hospital and we weren't treated very well as gay people. Okay. And, that was back, in the early 90s, and people weren't as woke as they are now. And then luckily, I got to write another one, and everybody is fine. But there was a great change in the way we were treated, and that was really newsworthy, I thought.
Yes. I asked that only because Frank was curious about that, because we are both regularly screened, and he didn't know if the colonoscopy, failed to find something. He was just curious about that, so...
Yeah, no. And she's fine. She's absolutely fine. She had surgery and she's well. She's cancer free after 5 years. We're all thanking goodness. And but it did give me plenty to write about, which is where I get my inspiration. Whatever's happening, I write about it.
And are those,
hopefully it's more fun.
Are those columns what you then compile into your books?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've been writing for 26 years for Letters from Camp Rehoboth.
Wow.
And about 12 years for Delaware Beach Life. So they become my books. And I'll give you a scoop. I'm going to be probably putting an end to the column in Camp Rehoboth. this December. Okay. And going on to other things, I'm going to be writing a memoir, an actual memoir of my life. And COVID gave me the chance to sit down and try to make sense of my life. And of course, with the emphasis on activism, gay rights, what I've seen. Heck, I'm old. I've seen a lot.
Well, I think that's a great idea, and it's going to be a really interesting book. You mentioned COVID.
Yeah.
How did it alter your life there? Frank and I live in rural New Jersey. I work in New Hope, Pennsylvania, and I've never stopped working, so I've always been around people. But it's very different, of course. We lived in New York City for 25 years, and that's a completely different experience than living out here in the sticks. What was it like for you the last few months?
Well, good and bad. In the first place, I had been touring in a show, and it's called Aging Gracelessly, 50 mm-hmm. Shades of Spain. And of course, I had bookings all over the East Coast, and I was having a great time with it, and that just stopped. I think I'm retired. I had touring with the show for 5 years, and so COVID really put an end to that. I laugh about it. I said I got into show business at an age where I'd more likely break a hip, and it really was fun doing it, and so that stopped. But truthfully, staying home and not having too many activities gave me time to write, start this memoir, and also I loved being home with my wife. We've been cooking more, staying home with the dog, and binging ridiculous things on Prime and Netflix. And I've really enjoyed it because I've had a very, very busy career. And this put the brakes on it, and it was pretty good.
That's good. And you mentioned hips and age. Is that where a sit down comedy came from?
Absolutely, because I didn't think I could memorize a one-woman show. And I see writers like David Sedaris, they do fill huge arenas and auditoriums, and they just sit in a chair and read. So I thought, well, maybe let's try that. So I tried the show out at Camp Rehoboth in their little theater, and it worked. And so basically I call myself the last comic sitting.
Yeah, I like that.
And I was very excited to go from Rehoboth with the show, which I did about 7 times here. But then I began getting bookings. I did New Hope. I did the Raz Room in New Hope. And I did the Duplex in Greenwich Village off Christopher Street. Mm-hmm. And I've gone to LGBT community centers and organizations, churches. I've done a lot of for the Metropolitan Community Church, and it's been a blast. It's just been so much fun.
Yes, I just suddenly stopped and thought about MCC New York, because that's where we got married there with the pastor and a couple of friends. It was no big deal.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I didn't do MCC in New York. I did do the community center. And I did a couple of other gigs there, and it's just been, it was just really nice. Now I'm hoping we'll be back. You know, I have no idea. Broadway's not coming back till late fall, early, late spring, early fall next year. So I have to see if it's still viable to go out on the road.
Well, you have an event tonight, but it's Zoom. I think it's by Zoom.
It's a Zoom event, but I believe they are broadcasting it live, Facebook Live.
Oh, okay, tonight. That's cool.
Camp Rehoboth Community Center, and this is a little different. It started out an LGBTQ school organization asked me to do a little gay history talk. And it was through Camp Rehoboth, and I did the gay history talk for these youngsters, and they were fabulous. And my friend said, well, we wanted to see it too. And it was, it was said it was only for the high school group. And so we decided to try it, and we're trying it tonight. It's a little bit humorous, But it's a good gay history 101 kind of thing. And we've got almost 100 people signed up. Not everybody from Rehoboth, all over the place. And that's why they decided to put it live on Facebook as well tonight.
Now, how can people find you and read about you? And I know you've got a website, obviously. I'm just throwing it out there so you can give them the URL. Sure.
Well, I have fayjacobs.com, and we have my books are available from Bywater Books or from Amazon. And anyone who wants to read my column from Camp Rehoboth can do that online, camprehoboth.com, and watch my Facebook page. I have Faye Jacobs, author and humorist.
I like that. Now, just off topic here a little bit, did you watch any of the horror show last night?
Oh my God! I watched every minute of it. There wasn't enough vodka in America to help me through that. It was just awful, and yet like an accident, you can't take your eyes off it. I thought it was embarrassing for the president and for our country, and I don't think anybody changed their mind unless they left the Trump camp. I thought Joe Biden did the best he could under the circumstances. Mm-hmm. I've never seen such a badgering bully in my life. And it was sad, really sad. My phrase now is act up, vote blue. I just feel like this is the election of our lives.
It is, and it's a defining moment for the country. And
absolutely.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'll just say a couple of things. We watched for an hour and then we turned it off because we just couldn't. It was like just the same thing. It was like a loop of of awfulness. So we turned it off. And then it wasn't until this morning that I read that he basically told this, these Proud Boy militia terrorists to stand by, which I think is it's horrifying. But I refuse to fear. I mean, I get anxious and I think, please let this be over soon. But I know that so many people are frightened, and I think that's part of the game. I think that's part of the strategy. And I'm not going to give in to the fear. I'm going to hope for the best. I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to speak out, but I'm not going. Despair is a swamp or something that I'm not going to allow myself to sink into.
I agree with that. Right now, this afternoon, I'm writing letters for the Democratic Party to left-leaning voters who don't always vote. I've got about 60 letters that I'm pumping out. I'm going to do everything I can to make this happen in Joe Biden's direction. My problem with it is I think he signaled last night that no matter what the voters say, and while they're counting the ballots, the absentee ballots, he's going to declare it all a fraud and force it to the Supreme Court. And if he gets his gets his choice for the court by that time, it's a real danger that our democracy will not survive this particular election. He believes he will be here for life as a dictator, and he's setting it up. I mean, that's what he's doing, telling his Proud Boys to stand by possibly for an insurrection, refusing to accept the results of the election. He told us that. So I'm fearful of that. However, I'm more determined to see that if it does happen legally, we can take care of it.
Yes, because it's not... I didn't mean to sidetrack us here, but it's not as simple as I'm not accepting this and the Supreme Court's going to decide it. The states decide.
Right.
It's going to be a protracted thing. My hope is that, and I've told everybody now, if you can vote in person, vote in person. Because that just, if you can do it, do it. We can't vote in person. Well, we can go to the polls in New Jersey, but there's no machines. You get a provisional ballot. And I said, don't use a provisional ballot under any, you might as well throw it away. Don't do that. But if everybody can vote in person where they can, it could, I'm saying. I'm saying he needs to be defeated clearly and early. And then
it's. I think that's true. And I think that, we have a hope if there's a blue tsunami, if we really come out, if our team comes out, we win. And I think, you know, having worked in politics as well for a long time, I know it's all about get out the vote. And yes. I don't know, some people might have been just so turned off last night, they never think about it again and say whatever happens, happens. I hope the Republicans think that, and I hope the Democrats go to the polls.
Yes. Faye, on that note, I'm glad you're a humorist. You know,
cause I know. Some days it's hard to be a humorist these days.
It is, but a sense of humor, I know, because I'm 61 and I remember AIDS and all, losing my friends, and humor has gotten me through my life. It really has, is one
me
of the reasons
too.
I'm still here. So
me too, and it's very important, and now more than ever. And let's see what we can write about this election after it's over and we've won.
Yes. Thank you so much. It was such a delight to talk to you. And next time we're in Rehoboth, I'm going to look you up.
Please do that. I can't wait to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.